Third meeting of the design group. I think we made some different progress at the last one. And come up with some interesting suggestions for our new remote control. I'll again very quickly just present some notes of that meeting. Now the problem with existing remote controls we felt was that they were ugly, and the people prepared to pay a premium for something better. They've got lots of buttons on them that people don't use and find difficult to learn, and people lose them. We thought that for our new remote control that everybody will want to rush out and buy, that we should look at speech recognition rather than buttons. And that if you have any buttons, there should be very few of them, and only for those functions that are actually identified that people use. We want to go for a long-lasting battery that we guarantee for the life of the product, and a shape that will be instantly recognisable, A, as a trendy remote control, and B, as a real reaction product, so that when people are happy with that, they will want to buy everything else from us. Okay. So again, we'll have the three presentations from the three of you, and then we'll make a final. Decision. And the decisions that we need to make today finally are what energy source we want to use, whether it is practical to use a long-lasting one. And I think our discussion was around the fact that if we're going to go for a long-lasting power supply, then basically it's sealed for life. And if we just manage to run one down, we'll give them another one. And it will be prominently displayed as part of the advertising literature that it's for life, guaranteed for life. Now the internal chip, this is where I need Kate's expert advice, given that this has to go to market as quickly as possible. Do we go for a custom designed chip? Or do we buy one off the shelf and program it ourselves? I'm not an expert on these things, but presumably there must be loads of them already on the market that we can modify. But that's your area of expertise. And then the overall design of the case is Kendra's field. And, We had some discussions last time as to how we might go forward, and we'll finalise those today. And this is all linked in with the user interface, whether we go for voice buttons or a bit of both. For the next meeting, Kate will be looking at the look, feel and design, Kendra, how the user actually uses it, and Andrew, of course, the product evaluation. And Kate and Kendra will be producing a model for us to look at. So if we could have the three presentations again, please, and perhaps we'd like to start.
Okay. talking about the components design. Okay, basically just look at what exactly they want to do. Basically they wait for your press key or the voice command, and then this is translated into light signals, which are then seen by the TV. The materials we're going to need to look at, the two big ones are the integrated circuit chip and the battery. And the integrated circuit chip works in conjunction with a diode, a transistor, a resonator, two more resistors, and a capacitor. And the battery works in conjunction with a resistor and a capacitor. Basically what happens is you'll press a number or get a voice command, and this creates a connection between the remote that allows the chip. The chip then senses this connection and produces a signal in Morse code format. This signal is sent to a transistor, which amplifies it and then sends it on to the light emitting diode, and which is then changed into infrared light, which is sent to the TV and sort of seen by the TV, and which changes the channels. So as for how we should end up using this NAR remote, a couple of main questions are the buttons. The fewer buttons you have, I guess the few internal connections, internal codes you're going to need. However, to not have buttons, or to use a voice command instead of buttons, might make these connections more difficult and raise production costs. That's something we should think about. Also, we have to work within the company constraints, and the company is reforming in a few minutes. That they're experts at push buttons, and that seems to be the most cost-effective way of producing it. Also, with battery connections, the company has some limits on the batteries that we can use, so I was thinking perhaps a combination of solar cells with a backup basic battery, and somehow doing a combination of that too, we might be able to come up with something that will last the lifetime, for the 5 to 10 years, and we could still keep that original idea. We also need to look at chips, custom design versus off the shelf. And the custom design will give us much more flexibility and enable us to incorporate the voice function that we all seem to have agreed upon. However, that's going to cost more, but the off the shelf is going to be cheaper, and it's going to allow us to produce it quicker and get it out there faster, but it's going to be less flexible with the features, especially things like voice activation, which haven't really been used much on remotes, so there's not really chips out there that would be easy to convert. So if we were definitely going to go with the voice option, we'd probably have to design our own chip. And that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, so how, sorry, can you put that one again, please?
Yep.
I mean, inevitably, a custom design chip is going to be more expensive. Mm-hmm. Do we know by how much?
I don't actually have any price information, no.
Do we know how long it will take to develop a custom chip?
A lot longer than an off-the-shelf chip. The problem is the voice technology is not really highly developed. It's sort of still in its experimental form. So it would it's hard to predict time.
Right. I think we need to make a decision here. Given that the company wants us on the market quickly and cheaply, that would appear to effectively constrain us to an existing chip, and thus therefore conventional button technology. And now before we go around, yes, does anybody have anything that anything to say about that?
I just have a question about that. Does it make a difference if there are just a few commands? For example, if you can pre-program in like numbers 1 through 10 and pre-program, say, you know, 9 channels, and then just use the voice recognition to say channel 1, and then you've programmed in, say, BBC4 is your channel 1, is your favorite. It's like to have a certain number of favorites.
Just to incorporate the voice activation in it is sort of the trick. Once you've got the whole voice chip,
then it doesn't matter.
The world and your best guy is your life. But to actually, the big step is to actually get the voice activation chips in there and working.
I find that slightly surprising, given that a mobile phone incorporates voice activated dialing. So, slightly different, well, no, I mean, it's, if you speak somebody's name, it'll dial the number for you. So, well, I mean, this information is from, this is the internal company information, isn't it?
Of course, mobile phones do tend to be more expensive, you know, £150 or something. As opposed to the €20, €25.
Any price information, that's difficult to,
It's the mobile phone, they've got a lot of technology in there, not just that.
Yeah, that's right, it's like it's, you can't, because mobile phones are expensive, you can't say it's a voice recognition bit of these. But we don't know. Given that the technology is not well developed, and given that it's never been done before, the double risk, perhaps we ought to stick to two buttons, since the last thing we want to do is present a product that doesn't work.
Well, another thought I, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, cut corners somewhere else to bring it in over cost.
I mean, do we think that the voice technology is fundamental to the project?
It's fundamental, well, I mean, I guess it's something we've discussed since the sort of beginning, so I think in our minds it's fundamental, but I don't know that the upper echelons of the company would necessarily agree with that, so I think...
I mean, I think we...
Well, I kind of think if we're going to have the voice recognition for part of it, then maybe we should have it for the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that's...
And we've been talking about it the whole time, and I'm kind of inclined to say that we should just go for it.
Okay.
I'll take some information on finding it's the second most important aspect of user is that the device should be technologically innovative.
Yeah.
And it's
from my perspective.
Yeah, so it should be...
Technologically innovative.
Right, okay, so...
Fine,
okay. It will have a voice recognition.
Okay.
If that means, if that means we cut off all buttons, but I mean, second question, do we need the five buttons for channel change, up, down, volume up, down, and on, off? Just as a backup, or so that people can just sit there, press the buttons.
I think so.
Right. Okay, sorry, did you want to say anything?
Nothing.
Okay, shall we move rapidly on to
Okay.
Cable? Rapidly move the cable over.
Is it gonna work?
Yeah, it will be there, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I did some research on the internet and what, you know, the user interface are just the aspects that are seen by users, commands and mechanisms for the operation, and they're just kind of a variety of choices. Findings, so a lot of times they tend to look cluttered, and these were just a couple examples of different kinds that are a little bit more unusual. There are some special ones available, like this one right here, which is marketed towards children, different designs. And one of the things that we need to watch out for is a V in volume, because people make a little picture of what I thought ours could look like. So just kind of minimize the clutter, avoid too many buttons. And also, one of the things that people have used is a slide button like you have on a mouse, that possibly we could use that on the side for volume, for example, have the slide button on the side. And then you can pre-program the channels, voice recognition, and then the voice response sample locator.
If I can interrupt you, do you want to say anything about slide controls? I mean, I think the reason they use push buttons is that they're simple, cheap, and
I think they're about the same cost, really. I mean, it just sort of, there's a lot of slide buttons out there, and I think it's pretty much the same sort of connection.
Okay. Fine.
Just because, for example, if I'm using a mouse, I like to be able to slide it up and down, so I thought it might be good for volume to just be able to kind of roll it and then have the up and down, and then the.
Yeah.
This is my so great
three,
little
three,
drop.
There's three buttons on the slider.
Yes, yes.
Have you got channel locked down? We get the slider in as well. Because if you know something, it kind of like it's got kind of it kind of sticks, you know, up like one unit, you see?
Yeah.
So then it's up one, then like you can keep going up, but it's like a little column or something.
Uh-huh.
So you can't take it up one at a time.
The only advantage I was thinking of to having the buttons, like the buttons on one side for the channel and then the slider, is that if you're just holding it in your hand and you pick it up, it's easy to know, okay, this is just the volume and this is the channel.
Yeah,
because I've definitely picked up remotes and like meant to change the channel and turn the volume or vice versa, so it'd be kind of good to have the beat feel completely different, you'd know what you were fiddling with.
Yeah, this
is what's the difference come up with is the actual shape that people can instantly pick it up and kind of know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're looking at sliders for both volume and channel tone.
I was thinking kind of just for the volume, but what do you guys think?
Depending on the final shape of it, because you can have like, I don't know, feel like where it's there, it looks like you can control the volume with your thumb.
Yeah, in that kind of position, the fingers would be better for pressing.
It seems to me that it also has the advantage that the two are clearly different.
Yeah.
There's no possibility of confusing the two. So,
can pass this along.
Right. So, that's all you.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
This is my important trend watching.
Mm-hmm.
The digital and internet. From executive summary for us on the top three things once about the consumer. I've got reports from Passion on new fashions. And the most important aspect is the look at your last look fancy look and feel. Instead of the current functional look and feel. And this is twice as important as the second aspect, which is the technologically innovative side of it. So on the third thing, easy to use, it's probably a given. Probably you have to try and incorporate. So
well, I mean, I think that what we're suggesting ought to address all three of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
And from trash washers from our parents have said fruit vegetables are an important theme for clothes and furniture and shoes, etc.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry, clothes, shoes, and furniture. And a spongy material. And yes,
I thought of that, that's different, so
yeah. But I was going to say, fruit and vegetables are important to this year, important to furniture. Can say, like it. If fashion, if we're going for the, it looks fancy, and fashion is obviously going to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
But fashions don't last very long.
Well, that can kind of tie into our changing face things. Like we could have fruit and vegetable for you this year, and whatever happens next year, we can have the face plates. Yeah.
Get spongy skin on it.
Yeah.
You can just whip that up and.
Yeah, like the kind you get on like hand wipes. You know that kind of spongy.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Also means you drop it, damaging it.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But we could, if we could save, depending on the cost of the product itself, you know, could we have a cheaper power source and then just have it annually renewed instead of having a 10-year guarantee with interchangeable covers, or just buy a new one every year?
Yeah.
When new fashions come out.
I mean, if it's that's an interesting idea. It's like the old Swatch watch, where the batteries have got changed in those. Just people just bought a new one when it went out of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This has never been seen as a fashion item before.
Yeah.
That's a bit Canadian suspicion quantity.
I think it's easier sometimes to have them buy changeable covers for it than to buy a whole new one, because you don't feel like you're investing in a whole new product.
I mean, we can. My feeling is that current power sources are such that for relatively little cost, you can make it last, a long time. But if you can also make it cheap enough that people either change the cover every year or even buy a new one every year, then it's even better.
What if we included the batteries in the cover?
Oh, yeah.
So,
also kind of encourages them to buy new covers. And,
yeah. So, can I see that? Thing. Just those examples.
The immediate thing that comes to mind with that is that you've then got the connection and you've immediately got a source of unreliability. Whereas the advantage of having it plumbed in is that the whole thing is all completely soldered together.
Yeah, I guess that's.
And it total reliability. But I mean, I know what you're saying and understand where you're coming from.
More than just the battery, like a complete different, like, you've only got this bit's the bit you keep, and this is the expensive bit, this is like the chip, and this is the microphone, and then this is the power source and that everyone sees. And then
I think if we're going to go down that route, then we're talking about going the cost slightly more than that. Just building the whole thing in one, and getting cheaper production costs, and giving people the option of buying. A complete new thing. You're actually going to replace what cover is that even if it doesn't have a cover on at all, it will still work.
Yeah, that's true.
Totally. People lose the cover. I mean, they might be well inclined to go out and spend however many euros on a new one, rather than a complete new
Well, let's just stick with the conversation of tricking them into continuing to spend their money on our products without making them feel like they're being ripped off having to buy a new product.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
this
just
is
another
up to
5 euro to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it's up to our marketing people to make, turn it into a fashion item. And you know, as external fashions change, then we get new colours on the market and you know, readily available.
And that's the sort of thing, once you get the mould set, you can just whip out different colours.
Like they have for mobile phones that are just
exactly.
fruits and animal prints and colours. Yeah.
So, okay. Right, so, you can finish your.
Are we going to make this part of the fashion supply to furniture? Should we going to make this part of the furniture?
It's the sort of thing that we want people to have prominently displayed on their coffee table to say, this says something about me.
This is fashionable.
This is fashionable. I know I'm with it. I'm up to date. And you know, the design that I've got, it could be a homemade design. It says this is not just a television remote control. This is a fashion accessory. So I mean the basic shape is what we given that we've got one on-off button presumably, two buttons for the channel change and one slider, and basically nothing else. We need to decide on the basic shape of the thing. Whether we go down the fruit and veg route, and I don't suggest we make it look like a banana, but sort of the organic curved look. To deliberately get away from the square look of most current remotes. Whether the fixed part of it is the corporate yellow, the corporate logo needs to be prominently displayed so that people look at it and say, right, that's a real reaction. Remote control, I want one of those.
I don't know that we should make the whole thing yellow. How about you'd have like a yellow circle with the RR in it
Yellow
seems a bit of a strong colour to make you the thing.
We're simply required to incorporate the corporate logo prominently. This is the whole point, yes. I've got a real reaction remote control to getting my real reaction coffee maker or whatever. And then people demand more real reaction stuff.
Well, I was sort of kind of picturing like maybe a shape that's almost like a mouse. So that, when they hold it, it's because a mouse is pretty comfortable to hold in your hand. Maybe we could make it a slightly different shape so they could hold on to it. But that way they can have the volume on the side and then the channel buttons and have the power wherever, somewhere. I mean, that was just an idea that I had.
As I say, my idea was probably a bit fatter than this, but sort of that sort of shape. So
yeah, maybe.
A mouse, you're kind of just resting on it. You want something you can definitely grip.
Sort of a combination.
A
mouse, but held. Hand like that.
Maybe a little wider than this, because this is pretty comfortable to hold. And then if you had
maybe almost like a hairbrush, like you get the width of that and
then
widens up.
Then
top,
wider
and
up here, and then it would have a wider thing to have the light, infrared light at the TV, and just kind of change channels and adjust the volume, and the power could be wherever up the top or something.
Cool.
What do you guys think about that?
I'm suddenly realizing that we're discussing how good it's going to be to change channels. So we still can just tell to whenever we start to get away from the voice functionality.
Oh yeah.
That's a very good point.
That is a very good point.
I think we decided that we're actually going down both routes.
Yeah.
We need the manual controls and that they should be in that form.
Do you know this shape also kind of does lend itself to voices, because if you're holding it and you're fiddling, you can also bring it up like that.
Yeah,
maybe like we're leading out the buttons forward. if less you get used to, but maybe you can incorporate that into the voice.
I honestly, my personal view is that if it's not there, people wouldn't use it anyway.
Yeah, I suppose. There is still a chance that, you know, that the brightness is wrong and you're dealing with the contrast is changing.
It's certainly possible. I mean, but we're going beyond, given the state of the technology, we want something that we know will work.
We can still incorporate the voice with the less buttons. I mean, if the power button was also somehow like a menu button, you could press that and or do voice commands, and the volume thing could also be to scroll through other options, like, and you could scroll through brightness.
Yeah, I suppose.
You can minimize the buttons and still have those, you know, brightness and tint and stuff.
I'm getting a clear message that we think that we should have those facilities available.
So I guess we could have a menu button as well. We could have the channels and the power and then a menu button and then the volume. So have four buttons and the volume instead of three buttons and the volume.
Okay, if we're going down that route, then we need some sort of display.
The television.
And
then you
menu
will come up on television
and
have like tint brightness and
then
you scroll through.
Mm. On the mouse, the scrolling button is actually a button as well. If you press it,
press that. Yeah, press that.
That
might
work though. But
it's like the mouse where you just kind of click it. You just press it. Yeah, and you could just click that. So if you had like the menu, then you could scroll through and then click it to select.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, we've got 5 minutes to go in this meeting. So, I think we've actually very conveniently just come to a good point to sum up. Kate and Kendra now go away and play with a bit of fantasy or Play-Doh, whatever it is on the other side of the Atlantic. And actually put what we've discussed into something, I was going to say concrete, but that's a slightly inappropriate word. Just something that we can see. And you can go away and think about how you can actually market this as a concept. Not just a simple remote control.
Can I just get some things clear?
Certainly.
Energy source is going to be
I think we decided that we're going to, for simplicity of manufacturing and maintenance, that we will go for a long-term battery source.
Cool.
On the basis that if you're going for making a fashion statement, then people are more likely to change it anyway before it runs out, and make an assumption that we can aim for a battery that will last most people for let's say at least 5-10 years, and then we'll guarantee it for 5 years.
And we're having a custom chip.
We're having a custom chip, but given we've cut the functions down, that will hopefully not be too problematic, but given that technological innovation is important, then we need to say it again, technologically innovate. we must resist any efforts to try and water that down.
And interchangeable case.
Interchangeable case seems to be important to the concept. It should be cheap, if we avoid electrical connections. If we can come up with some way of allowing people to actually personalise it to whatever they want, then, this is totally new. We don't know whether to what extent people will do it or not, but if they've at least got a good selection of covers that they can use anyway, and if we can keep them rolling, then might as well get them in the supermarket when we get into any of the famous supermarkets. I won't mention any names. It's good for the supermarket, it's good for us, and it hopefully makes them feel better.
And are you going to have it all being illuminated from inside onto the button? So.
No, because we've got so few buttons that it that actually makes that redundant.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and especially if we're making them so like different.
Yeah.
Feel, yeah.
Yeah.
And that solves all the problems of the battery life. Mm-hmm. That would cover the battery life. So no, given the nature of the buttons we're having, it's actually unnecessary, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And having it that it's any angle, or is it just
as wide?
Yeah.
It's certainly wider angle than current, so that if you're holding it, you know, anyway,
like this or like this,
it will work most of the time. Not like my mummy puts it at the ceiling when the television doesn't work. I sort of envisaged that if this was the thing, then sort of the whole of the top would
be kind of like this hole.
Yeah.
So you could use like this and it would go, or.
Yeah. Because I mean, the reality is, people are, they're going to be looking at the television whilst they're using it, the chances are. So if they're holding it anyway, that they're reasonably likely to be holding it to use it. And that's the sort of coverage that we want. Okay, we're all clear.
Yep.
Where we go from here? Thank you very much indeed, and I'll see you all again.
Okay.